Okay. All right. Good morning, church. It's good to see you. This morning, we have two services on a Sunday morning, and we have some guests, and my wife is ministering with them in church this morning. But I would normally have driven straight from home here, but I decided to go through church before I set off. And when I got there, one of our leaders who actually lives on this side of town, actually, and said to me, "Pastor, where are you going this morning?" I told him I was preaching out. And then I said, "Oh, I'm headed towards Greenwich." And he said, "Don't go the way you usually go." Obviously, I knew what had happened, but I was still thinking I'll go through the normal way I did. And so he gave me another route, and that saved me in that sense. I came all the way on the North Circular, which was free. And listening to the reports, a lot of streets have been blocked in the middle of town. But I just want to encourage your hearts. It's so interesting. My wife, the whole month I'm away. Actually, I traveled out tomorrow, so the whole month of June. I'm not going the whole month of June, but the whole month of June, she's doing something, a series called "Living Peacefully in Our Times," which she had been advertising for about a month or two. She's been talking about it, that she's going to talk about fear and living stress-free. And then this morning, we hear about, obviously, what happened in London. And she just said, "My goodness, it's as if," not as if, but God was already looking ahead and preparing his people. So whatever has happened, one of the things that I want to encourage your hearts, and this is what I told our church a few weeks ago, that don't let your heart be taken by fear. Don't allow fear to take over your heart, because that's exactly what the enemy wants. God wants you to continue to be in faith, continue to stand on his word, continue to live his word. And you know what? You will be able to encourage other people, because when other people see your peaceful composure, they will wonder why you are able to be peaceful in the midst of uncertain circumstances. Then you can have an opportunity to share Jesus with them. Amen. And so I just want to encourage your hearts. We live in trying and trouble sometimes, but we have already been told that these things will be happening. And so we should not be troubled, but rather we should draw on the peace of God. I'm so blessed by the wonderful songs that we sang this morning, you know, that he's our hope, he's our strength. And, you know, we don't sing these songs just for the sake of it, but all of them describe exactly what God is to us through his word. And sometimes, you know, sometimes you don't even have a scripture to stand on, or you don't remember a scripture, but you can remember a song. Praise the Lord. You may have just come to church and they may have just sung a song, and the song stays in your heart. And that song sometimes is what carries you through. Amen. And so he is our strength. He is our song. And like the song says, he's become our salvation and our deliverance. So don't let your heart be troubled. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise. We thank you for the opportunity, Father, to teach and minister your word to your people that you saved by your grace. And Father, we thank you that the word spoken, Father, will just minister wisdom, direction, and deliverance, oh Father, to the hearer. For this, Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. Turn to your neighbor, I always say this before I preach, and tell them Jesus loves you and there is nothing you can do about it. Find somebody else and tell them that. Jesus loves you and there's nothing you can do about it. Okay, praise the Lord. Well, it was exciting coming here a couple of months ago, and we ministered in the area of being single, and God has a lot to say on this, and God has a whole bunch of things to say also about marriage. Now, today, I'm going to leave you with three things, just three things. You know, my wife is very organized. I'm not as organized as she is. She is very organized, very disciplined. With me, I can show you a little part of my life, and you don't want to follow me. For example, driving to church. You know, I have about 4 routes of going to church. And when I start to drive towards church, my wife will say, "Why are you going today?" I said, "We are going to church. I just feel like going that direction." And so I head that direction until I get to church. And when we are leaving church, I feel like heading this direction to get home. You know, so based on how I feel, I will arrive, though. But my wife doesn't work like that. My wife say, if this is the route that goes to, or one of, sure, you see her going that way and coming back. She's very disciplined. She's been juicing for you know, all the good things that they do in the morning, you know, all the women do in the morning. She does smoothies. Man, she is so disciplined. Every morning she's done a smoothie with all kinds of stuff. I tried for 2 days. I said, I'm going to do it. So she starts to make, after 3 days, I start putting them in the fridge. You know, that tells you how disciplined I am, you know, and she's very disciplined. I said all this to say, if she was coming today, she'll have everything on a pen drive. The first time I came, my office gave me a pen drive. Now I forgot to take the pen drive. So that's, I said all that to say that, because I would have had my 3 points on the pen drive. It would come up, and you see the notes, and we'll all be happy, okay? So bear with me. I'll do my best to get my points across in a simple manner. So 3 points. You can't go wrong with 3 points. Even if you get 3 points in your license, you can still drive. Hey, man, I had about 6 points. Well, it's all gone. It's all gone. You know, I'm very obedient. It's just the cameras took pictures of me. And I tried to fight it, but they brought me my picture with a camera that it was you. I said, okay, I admit it. So praise the Lord. One of the things, in fact, throughout the month, it's so interesting. When I walked in here, I said to Pastor, I said, "Oh, you got all this place spruced up with, you know, is there a wedding?" He said, "No, it's because we are teaching on marriage." And you know, the whole month of May, we have been in our church. We have been teaching on something called love and relationships. So it's not only on marriage, but all kinds of dynamics that have to do with, you know, relationships all together. In that sense, and the final one was a Sunday just gone, and we had a sort of a mock wedding kind of thing. So we had a bride and a groom come through the church, and people thought we were having a wedding because we didn't tell them that was going to happen. So they started playing, you know, here comes the bride and all that, and the couple walked through, and there was a father who was giving the bride away, there was a mother that was crying, and people thought it was there was actually a wedding going on. They thought it was happening, but we were just acting the whole thing out. But we called it saying I do. Not when you say I do, but saying I do. And we talked about all the whole bunch of stuff that is happening, you know, around saying I do these days. You know, the challenges and the pressures that our young people have these days, and the distractions. And we were not trying to cramp anybody's style, but we were offering wisdom and counsel in different areas. And it was such a blessing. Many people say they were very, very happy with the things that we shared, because there were so many questions that they had around, and it's really, we're talking about organizing a wedding and so on and so forth, and giving tips on how to go about these things the best possible way in that sense. And so it was very, our young people, especially the young people, were very, very encouraged by the things that we shared. But today I want to share with you something I titled, 3 for the Price of 1. 3 for the Price of 1. And you know, Tesco can't beat that. I mean, I know they do 2 for the Price of 1, but I'm giving you 3 for the Price of 1. Why the price of one? Because we are talking about marriage. The Bible says the two shall become one flesh. Okay? But I'm giving you 3 points and 3 things that will be helpful and a blessing to you. But before that, let's lay a foundation by turning our Bibles to the book of Matthew and chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, and I'll read the first, let's say, 10 verses. Matthew chapter 19. It says, "Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these sayings, that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?" So the question they asked Jesus was a question on divorce. So obviously for them to ask a question on divorce, that means a marriage would have taken place before, because you can't get divorced without getting married. Amen. So he goes on to say in verse 4, "And he answered and said to them, 'Have you not read that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female?'" Now, if you remember when I spoke on singleness, I think I alluded to this verse at one point. You know, God initially made us all single. You don't come with your married, you know, with your spouse when you're born. He makes you individuals, okay? That's how he created us. But we'll come back to this. He says, in the beginning, which takes us all the way back to Genesis, he says he made us male and female. And he said, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." That means that the marriage has taken place. And then he goes on to say, "So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate." They said to him, "Why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away?" And he said to them, "Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so." Verse 9 says, "And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery." His disciples said to him, "If such is the case of the man with his wife, it is better not to marry." So we see Jesus. Let me just paint a picture to you. We see Jesus, you know, he's ministering, he's healing people, as we normally see, he preaches and he heals people. And then the Pharisees come to him. And, you know, the Pharisees used to give Jesus a hard time. You know, they were religious. "Do you mind if I come down? Will it affect the sound? I like to be up close and personal." So you don't need to, I'll be good. I'll be here, fine. I'm good. If I need a pulpit, I'll put my Bible on pastor's head. He has hair. I don't. Do you know what we did on the Sunday? We played a clip of our wedding video from 30 years ago. This year is 30 years since we got married in October. So October will be 30 years. And the church was very quiet, and they began to giggle and stuff like that. And do you know why? Because they found out I had hair. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so they asked Jesus, they come to him. You know, when you study the scripture, the Pharisees just, they gave Jesus a very hard time. Not that Jesus was, they tried to, but Jesus always, if it was a question, he dealt with it. One time they asked him a question and he dealt with it so good. The Bible says they went away and they never came back to ask him a question again, because they thought that now we have him trapped. But, you know, the wisdom of God always overshadows, oversees, overtakes the wisdom of men. So they come to him and they come to him with this question about divorce. And I love Jesus, because Jesus dealt with it like a very good doctor. They said, you know, this is what Moses said about divorce. So the question was about divorce, but he did not go straight to divorce. Later on, we see in those scriptures, he begins to talk about divorce, and time will not permit me to get into all that. I want to talk about the things that will strengthen a relationship, because if your relationship is strong and healthy, you'll not be thinking about divorce. Praise the Lord. Now, so they ask him a question about divorce. And if you go to a doctor, you know, if you go to a doctor and you had a headache, maybe a recurring headache or something like that, Now, if the doctor is a good doctor, he's not going to just say, oh, just go buy yourself some paracetamol. Because for you to go to a doctor about a recurring headache, that means you've tried a few, you know, Panadols and paracetamols and ibuprofens or whatever, you know, works for you in that sense. So any good doctor will begin to say, when do you have the headaches? You know, tell me about your lifestyle. You know, do you go to bed early? Are you rested? What kind of job do you do? Maybe it's too stressful. So he begins to diagnose, okay, what the thing is, and then maybe he'll come to a point and recognize that maybe your sleeping patterns are very poor and so on and so forth, or maybe you're not drinking enough water and stuff like that. Okay, he'll not just say, just take some paracetamol. I say, well, I don't need to come here if that it was about paracetamol in that sense. So Jesus went from the beginning. So the first thing he said was, in the beginning, it was not so. But in the beginning, God made male and what? Female. He made people single. And you know what? The first key I want to give to you is this. When you are single, that is where you prepare. The word is preparation. That is where you prepare for a marriage. So the first thing he says, he made them what? Male and female. That is preparation ground. You don't prepare for a marriage when you are in it. Do you know the interesting thing? Statistics show us that a lot of marriages are failing. A lot. It's very, very, you know, a lot of marriages are failing. Now, I'm not saying I have the solution, but I could give a few clues to why these things are happening. Because one of the things I notice is that in life, for example, if you're going to be a doctor, you're going to be a lawyer, whatever you're going to be, you're going to be a carpenter, what do you start by doing? You prepare. You train. You train for whatever it is. In fact, if you are dealing with professions that deal with people's lives, like a pilot, after you finish all your training, trust me, they are not going to put you in charge of the big 777 that is flying across the Atlantic. They will not do that. They still keep you on, you know, other little flights, and you don't get to pilot the plane. You get to sit by the guy who is piloting. For a number of years, you have to gain a number of hours, flight hours, under your sleeve before they switch places and make you a captain of a plane. Because trust me, I don't know about you, if you were traveling to America and you got on a plane, and when you got on the plane, you head over the, you know, the tannoy, and the captain says, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Captain Kofi Banfor. I'll be flying you from London Heathrow. My name alone will frighten you, because if you're in this church, you say, oh, no, that's the guy who preached in the church the other day. I'm off this flight. But what I'm trying to say here is, you heard that. Captain Kofi Banfor is going to be flying you from London Heathrow to New York Kennedy, okay? Whatever miles that is, and we'll be flying at a height of 33,000 feet and so on and so forth. Fasten your seatbelts and enjoy the flight. But by the way, I just came out of flying school just a week ago, and this is my first flight again across the Atlantic. What will you do? Exactly. I mean, and he said he went to flying school. He said he did. And he said he says this is his first flight. You will say, please let me out now. Because you know, planes are such that they can't let you out when it's 33,000 feet. The pilots can't stop in the air and let you out. You understand what I'm trying to say? Okay. So we notice that in these natural things, you prepare. We prepare. If you're going to buy a house, you prepare. You may save some money. You may even go into the neighborhood you want to buy the house, check the schools out, read about the place, all kinds of things. So it's no strange thing when I say we got to prepare for stuff like that. But if we ask the average person who is married, did you prepare for your marriage? The answer will be no. So if you are not preparing for something, you are preparing to fail, like they say. You understand what I'm trying to say? So already a whole bunch of us set ourselves up for failure. Because we did it. We said, oh, well, you said marriage, you just let the natural things take their course. Let me show you something about natural things. Right now we're in the summer. If you go buy a piece of meat, and you brought it from the butcher's, the market, and you brought it to your kitchen and set it on your, kitchen table, and you left it there for the whole day, what will happen to the meat? It will start to go off. It start to rot, start to decay. Because what you did was you left the meat to natural what? Circumstances. So what sets in? Decay. So a lot of things that we leave to natural circumstance, if you have children, and you say, well, I just leave them to grow up naturally. Do you know what will happen? In a few years, you'll be out of the house and they'll be taking over the house. You understand what I'm trying to say? You have to tamper them, okay? You put them in the fridge. No, not the children, the meat. Don't get your wires crossed. You understand? You've got to prepare the meat. If you're going to have that meat, you've got to cook it. You've got to roast it. You've got to do something to it. Otherwise, it will get into what? Decay. A lot of people don't prepare for a marriage. They prepare for a wedding. Do you know how many programs that are on television about weddings? Help me out. Yes to the dress. Bridezilla's, come on, let's count. What? Something new, something what? Borrowed, yeah, three. Help me, there's more. No, weddings. Yeah, just weddings. I know, but we'll come to the food in a minute. But you and I, we understand that. The rest of them. Why do you think I go to the wedding? The food, what are you thinking about? Help, we've got three programs now. What else? What? Bride, what? No, not the people doing that. I'm talking about the programs on television. Gypsy Wedding, Bridezilla, The Bachelor. All these things about weddings. There are competitions that they do. You know, the one that they find four brides and then they're supposed to answer, come together with some questions and stuff like that. And the person who wins answers all about what? Weddings. In my notes, I have about 13 that I just sat down and observed. Not that I watched them, but I just observed because I needed them for teaching people. We prepare for what? A wedding. And a wedding is one day. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a nice wedding. Because people think, oh, it's just anti-weddings. I'm not anti-weddings. I have two daughters. I better be for weddings. Praise the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? But what I'm saying here is that everything is focused on what? Preparing for a wedding, not preparing for a marriage, which is to last a lifetime. So guess what? The height of the excitement of most unions is the wedding. And then after the wedding, people don't have any tools to live their life. And that is why a whole bunch of relationships are breaking down. And the reason why these days weddings are big things is because of social media. Because everybody wants fame. And now social media has given everybody the opportunity to become famous. But that is not the place. I'm not saying you shouldn't use social media. I'm not saying that. But let me show you something. Do you know how much the wedding industry, that's where food comes in, do you know how much the wedding industry in this nation cost a year? The wedding industry. Take a wild guess. What? $3 billion? $3 billion. You're good. No, that's good. Because it's $8.5 billion a year. So it's a good industry. If you want a business, it's a good business. And do you know what I was trying to, Pastor Gideon, do you know what I, a few years ago, I was trying to search for the, not the wedding industry, I was looking for the premarital stuff, like counseling and preparation for marriage. I was looking for a figure, and I searched and searched and searched and never got one. In fact, the website kept the I kept on going into the marriage sites all the time. When I put premarital stuff for counseling, wedding, marriage preparation, it always sent me. And at one point, I thought, maybe I'm not using the search engines right. I got my daughters, you know, to come. And I said, Dad, there's nothing. I had to find other ways of getting it. And it came down, the figures I got was about $4 million a year for premarital stuff, like things like this, like books, like seminars and stuff like that, where people prepare for a marriage. The figure was $3 million. Now, when somebody says they are a millionaire and another person says I'm a billionaire, they are not cousins. Okay, never think that, oh, they're all rich. Yeah, they're all rich, but hey, one of them is filthy rich. They are not cousins. Do you know a billion is 1,000 million. 1,000 million. And 8.5, and it's growing, it's headed towards 10 billion. That is for the day. Hiring of cars, food, halls, and stuff like that. And most of them end up, the percentage is going, a high percentage of them, about right now in this country, is over 40% of marriages end up in divorce. Because people are not preparing for what? A marriage. The second thing is the Bible says, Jesus says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So by now the marriage has taken place. And when the marriage takes place, the key to function with is maintenance. You've got to maintain that. And that is where a whole bunch of people fail. Do you know, I have counseled so many people. You know, I've been in ministry full time also. In July will be 30 years. So I've sat down with so many couples, talked to so many couples, you know, before marriage, during marriage, after marriage, you know. I've spoken to so many people. And do you know one of the things that I find out? People get married and they don't maintain their relationships. Think about this. If Pastor and I, Pastor, what car do you drive? What do you like to drive? Which one is that? But you have a Volvo or something like that. You've given up.
The next one is coming.
Okay, but okay. Let me just say, Pastor liked a BMW. Okay, 5 Series. You know that Volvo? No, BMW. I'll give you a BMW. Okay, so he likes a BMW. And guess what? Maybe I like BMWs. All right. So we walk into a BMW showroom. All right. He's ordered one. I've ordered one. We had the money to do that, so we've done that. So we've gone there. And then, I don't know him, but it just happened that we were both collecting our brand new BMW 5 Series that day, okay? He got a white one, I got a black one, all right? And so just because of that, we had a little association there. They'd bring the car there, the cars together, and on the clock, it says 00005. Do you know what the 5 is for? From the port into the cars, back into the, drove it to the showroom and stuff like, you just have 5, you know, on the clock. So they are spanking new. You know, when you go into a spanking new car, you smell the leather and stuff like that. It's that new. Everything crisp, nice. So he says, oh, I'm glad you like a BMW. We shake hands. He drives north, I drive south. Okay? Something will happen. After 5,000 miles, tell me what happens to the car. What? It will come up. Now, you know, all these new cars talk to you anyway. It will come up with a thing, service. So he takes his car back to the BMW whatever place, center, and they say, well, you need an oil change and stuff like that. I'm driving. My 5,000 comes up. I say, what do they care? What do they know? They just want my money. So I keep driving. 10,000, he takes his car when he shows for a service. He takes it in. 10,000, I don't take my car in. 15,000, I'm just using, you know, that. He takes his car in. 15,000, I said, the 15,000 mile car's not done anything. I keep driving. Now, this is not rocket science, okay? Barring me having or him totally crashing his car and destroying the car because of an accident and stuff like that, whose car is one day just going to come to a grinding halt? Mine. Why? Because I did not service it. I did not maintain it. He kept on maintaining. You see, when you walk out of the church with your bride, that is the showroom. You're coming out of the showroom. Yeah. That's what it is. You just got the car, brand new. You walk out. But people don't maintain their relationships. So a lot of relationships begin to die the moment they walk out of the doors of the church. Or wherever you got married, the registry, they begin to die because they don't maintain their relationships. And it's so interesting, and you say, but how do we maintain our relationships? Just cast your mind back to the things you used to do before you said, I do. Just cast your mind back. Very simple things. You know, I won't have time to get through all this because these are all different seminars. Do you know that men and women are different? And we have needs which are different to each other? And sometimes when we are dating each other, we are meeting each other's needs. You know, you see your fiancé or girlfriend fix her hair, and you say, wow, you look like you just stepped out of Vogue. What have you just said? You've given her what? A compliment. Women like compliments. See, they like that. Yeah. You go visit her and then she cooks you a meal. You just take a little bite of the... You say, oh, Jesus. I've never eaten anything like that. My mother never even cooked like that. You're lying, but you know, you know what I'm talking about. This, you know, my mother never cooked like this before. You know, and basically what you are trying to say, oh man, I'm enjoying your company. I'm enjoying your presence. You understand what I'm trying to say? And we say all these things, and then we get married to the lady. Then guess what? She cooks the same meal. And then you eat it and say, don't you know how to cook anything else? The whole thing changes. Okay? What I'm trying to say is that if it worked before you got married, it will work when you are married. It will work. A lot of us drop our communication. Communication is so key in a relationship. It's so key. You know, when I was younger and didn't understand a whole bunch of these dynamics, I remember, you know, I'll come from work. I was working in a church, another church then, and I'll come from work and my wife will say, how was work? And I'll say, good. Then she'll say, oh, you know, you said such and such was going to happen. Did it happen? I say, yes. Have you noticed? Yes? Good. The moment she asked it, by the third question she asked me about work, smoke would start coming out of my ears. Because it was like, for me, it's like, man, hey, you don't work with me. I've told you it's good. I've told you it worked. That's it. But I found out that men are headliners. Women are fine print. See, different. It's true. Men are headliners. Now, I'm not saying men are wrong. We are headliners. But you see, we got to learn to communicate. So when my wife asked me how was work and I said good, really what she was asking me was what made work good? Share it with me. I've been here with them two girls going, yiggy, yiggy, woo, woo, yiggy. You know, I'm educated. I've gone, you know, I've got all these degrees behind me, but now I'm raising your kids or our kids, and I have to start, you know, talking this baboon language with them, you know. And now, you come home and you, let's be intellectual here, or communicate to me at a level so that you stimulate my brain. And you're saying, fine, just like the kids. And you're saying, good, just like the kids. No, she's saying, what made work fine? What made work good? What made work bad? Or whatever you said. In other words, give me some details. Give me some details. Amen.
Amen.
So it works together. I know the women will love me after this.
Yes.
See, Pastor sent me a survey. I didn't look at that one, but I took my own survey. I said, there are men, women here. I better preach for the women.
Amen.
Because, hey, if I upset the women, they beat me up here. But the men, there are not too many. I can take them on. Praise the Lord. I'm kidding. I'm just showing the dynamics. This is not men against women. You understand what I'm trying to say? It's not men against women. I'm just showing that we have differences. And when we minister to each other's difference, you see, in our hearts, emotionally, we are like, the best way, I like to describe things for people to, you know, visualize and understand. It's like having a tank, a petrol tank in you emotionally. And there are things that when are done, they fill your tank emotionally. Okay? One of them, a big thing about men's needs, one of the topmost of men's needs is sexual fulfillment. It's number one. The topmost of a woman's need is affection. See? So there are differences. And then another area, women like to talk, to communicate. Because they do that. You know, one of the things that always I laugh about is when I go to, I like Costa, all right? I like Costa. And when I go to a Costa, it doesn't cease to amaze me. I'll be sitting there somewhere in the corner, you know, drinking a coffee, or that's if when I sat down, and I'll be working on something, and I look, maybe three ladies will walk in. And it's so interesting. They will walk in. I will have my coffee and a muffin or whatever I'm having, and they will walk in, and they will order huge cappuccinos. They're always large. And they will all sit down, and then they will have a muffin. They will have whatever, sit down. And you know what? It doesn't cease to amaze me that after 30 minutes of talking, they get up and they go. And when you look on the table, their coffees are always half drunk. Their muffins just have a little bite. They never finish the stuff. If you and I know you are training to, is it run the marathon? I know you got injured. You did it. Who got injured? The other brother? Okay, you did. How did you do? Good. Congratulations. Amen. Give him a hand clap. I remember. I know one. Somebody got injured. You got the money? Yeah, I'll give you some money because you're running. But if both of us went to a Costa and we bought a muffin each or whatever and a coffee and we sat down to talk, trust me, when we finish, it will all be done. We are eating all the muffin, we're drinking all the coffee, whatever we ordered. Because for the women, it's not the coffee. You see, it's the communication. It's the fact that they are talking. So when they get married, they want to do the same thing with their husbands. But guess what is happening? The television, the husband talking to the television. You see, so it becomes an issue. That's why, unfortunately, and this is not a good thing, ladies, for you to do, when he's watching his key match, which is Liverpool winning the whole cup final, because I support Liverpool, and I'm preaching now, so I don't care who you support. They are the champions. And that is the time you walk and say, honey, can you go to Tesco's to get me? No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Because trust me, there is something about men and sports. Not football, sports in general. Okay? So a good thing to do as a wife is to see what, because it's not going to go away. Do you know why? Because men, we are hunters. In a man is a competitive edge. Okay? Put there by God. So that we use that to look after what? Our families. It doesn't stop. That is a good thing that we have. It doesn't stop. So when they are home, they switch it to things like sports and stuff like that. Now, I'm not saying, therefore, you should always be watching a sport. But what I'm trying to say, ladies, is not going to go away. Rather, come alongside it and encourage it, him in that area, so that when he's done watching whatever and now you need his attention, he gives you his undivided attention. Because it is a need in his life. Now, time will not permit me. There are so many things I could talk about maintaining your relationship. So many things. You know, when you buy a house or you own a house or whatever, do you know what you do most of the time with the house? You do maintenance. You know, there's a little crack there, you know, and you fill it. Then you paint. You don't go breaking walls all the time, but you maintain so that the house or the car, as I use as an example, stays in a what? Good condition. We do these things in our church with married couples. We just had one in March. We call it Couples Enrichment Weekends. And we've had a few of them. But one of the things we found out is this. Sometimes people were not even in bad relationships. They were fine. You know, they're not fighting, quarreling with each other. They're good. But you know what? They were just bored. They were just bored. You know, the marriage, listen, if you're going to live with someone until death do you part, trust me, you've got to have some exciting times, you know, because it's the old you. I've been married for 30 years. It's still me when I show up at home. My wife is still my wife for 30 years. Listen, under normal circumstances, think about it. If you bought a wristwatch, after 30 years, what do you think you normally do with a wristwatch? You buy another one. Ooh. Yeah? So maybe... I won't tell you what Pastor said. Yeah, it's just normal. You've had these chairs, you know, in your living room for after 30 years. Oh, come on, we need to get something new. It's not being frivolous. It's just life. After driving your car if it will last for 30 years, but you or a computer, whatever it is, it's just normal just to renew it. But this relationship is supposed to be as death until death do you part. So do you know what? I started by saying you prepare. You maintain what you've got. Now, please forgive me. I want to leave you with the words, and I want the Holy Spirit to... I know you sit down in small groups to talk about these things, and I know the wisdom of God is going to come out of... Some of you are going to come out with great wisdom. There's so many things I could suggest to you. But I think that will come as you discuss these things, because I want to get to the third point. The third point is you've got to renew your relationship. I didn't say renew your wife. I said renew the relationship. You've got to renew it, all right? Now, when you start renewing stuff in your relationship, it brings permanence and it adds value. Just like, think about it, if you had a house and you start to renew stuff in the house, like, for example, you decide, let's change these windows. Let's put in double glazing. Because when you bought it, it was not double glazed. You understand what I'm trying to say? What have you just done? You've renewed the, and what has happened? Added value. You may decide, oh, we need to strip these carpets. And let's have the original wooden floor. Maybe you have a house that is from 1900, and you've covered all the floors with the carpet. Then suddenly you realize that, hey, the trend is to have nice wooden floors. You strip it, and the person say, oh, my goodness, you had this oak, and you've been covered. And they come, and they sand it down, and they put lacquer on it, whatever they do. And, my goodness, your house looks like Buckingham Palace. You've added what? Value. But you don't go every year, you don't strip the floor and put new floors there. You understand what I'm trying to say? The same thing with your relationships. You've got to add value to it. You have to renew your relationships. You have to do interesting things. On anniversaries, okay? I'm not talking about every anniversary. Special, like, decide that on the fifth anniversary, you're going to do something special together. Amen. Thank you. I just knew somebody was going to flow with me on this one. You got to do something special together. It adds value, okay? Maybe, on another anniversary, you decide, oh, let's change our wedding rings. or something. You understand? Let's go on this trip. That you say, well, it costs money. Yes, it costs money. I'm talking about adding value. Amen. You know, sometimes we are so cheap over the wrong things. A relationship, a marriage is supposed to be for what? Life. So these are the things that both of you look back to and say, oh, that was so wonderful. We love each other. Sometimes it's very difficult even to what? Describe. And you come up with these. Now, I'm not saying go spend money that you don't have. But at least if you have this in mind, you start to plan and to save and to put things in place so that you can have these things in your lives. So you begin to renew the relationship. I just want to close by this. I can go on a little bit more? Okay. Because I saw 12:05. I thought I saw 12:05, and I just want to be good. I want to come back, you see. I want to come back again. If you want to come again, you better obey the rules. Isn't that so? Otherwise, that guy, when he comes, he never finishes preaching. But you've got to renew the relationship. Renew it. And you know what? All you have to do, trust me, in a relationship. You know, there's several scriptures. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 5, is it 5, 7? The Bible says that a man should have knowledge of his wife. Also, when you go to the book of Titus in chapter 2, the Bible says in Titus that the older women should teach their daughters how to love a man, to love their husbands. I may have given you the wrong quote. Pastor, check it for me. I think it's Titus. I believe it's Titus chapter 2. Okay? But what I'm trying to say here is that we can get to know each other. My wife is different from the other woman. But the only way I get to know her is when I spend time with her and I listen. I listen. There are things, I remember Titus chapter 2, yes. It says, I remember one time getting to Valentine's Day, I think the day before Valentine's Day, and I walked into the shop. Now, please don't think I'm this perfect guy. Oh, you don't want to hear my stories. You know, my wife and I have this battle. Do you know there's something called a hot war and a cold war? Do you know that right now there are cold wars going on? Yeah. You know, it's Russia and America, they're in a cold war. They are not shooting anybody, but they are still flexing their muscles. Recently, we got a little bit of it because they said, you know, they messed up with the elections. It's a cold war. So my wife, we used to have hot wars. Now we have cold wars. You know, you say, what war did we have? You know the toilet? You know the toilet? The toilet? I believe with all my heart and my liver that it should be open. No. Oh, wait. It should be open. No, I'm not talking about... No, ladies, listen. I'll give the ladies this. Watch this. Okay, if this is the whole seat, I'm not talking about this part. I'm talking about the lid. I believe... Okay, you got that? The lid. Ooh, the ladies almost drowned me. You see why I told you that I intentionally preach for them today? The moment I came against them, watch, they're jumping on me. They want to kill me. Anyway, I believe when we got married, I thought I will leave the lid open. My wife will close the like this. Every time it should be like this. I said, no. She said, I've been to even the best hotels. Because she used to work in a hotel, you know, so, and they clean up and then they close the lid. I said, I've been to the best, which I had it. And the lid is open. So in our little flat we shared with somebody, you know, where we rented a room when we got married, and little toilet and bathroom. When I walked past to the bedroom, the toilet was on this side, I looked, and guess what? It was shut. So I opened it. And I went in the bedroom. And if she was in the bedroom and she was coming out of the bedroom and the lid was what? Open, she shut it. So if you came to visit and you're in the living room, because it's a little flat, it was just a little flat, you could hear this noise going, gloom, gloom, gloom. And that will be a fight that we'll be having. And we never abated because I said it should be, why should it be closed? And up to today, we still have that fight. Before, it was a hot war, but now it's a cold war. You say, why? Because we got extra toilets. Hallelujah. Amen. So she got her own, I got my own. Do what you want. But the war is still on. I'm saying that to say we have differences. We have differences, but we shouldn't be fighting because of that. God created us what? Different. Wouldn't it be weird if all humanity just looked like me? No. God likes some tall. He likes some short. He likes some white. He likes some black. He likes some yellow. All that. And the difference is great. Amen. Amen. Difference is great. And that's what you bring to a marriage. Difference. But unfortunately, what happens is this. We get married to our spouses because of their strengths. And then, now we're in the relationship, we start to jump on their weaknesses. Yes. But God is something else. Do you know most of the time when you look at your relationship, where you are weak, your spouse is strong. And where you are strong, your spouse may be weak. But God has brought you together so that you be one strong front. Because you will take care of his weaknesses and she will take care of your weaknesses. And you present what? A strong front. But what we end up doing is we turn around and we begin to use and major on our weaknesses. And those things begin to drive the relationship to the ground. Let me round up. The third point I was making is renew your relationships. Listen to your spouse. I was telling you a story I didn't finish. I walked into this shop the day before Valentine's Day. I just went straight into the shop, and there were these artificial, I don't know, buy artificial flowers. I've never bought artificial flowers. But the reason why I bought this, so you got to hear the end of this story, but these were artificial roses, beautiful, in a very nice metal vase. And I just went straight to it. It was like a gift shop, you know, where they do all these cute things. Only women go in there, but once a year I get to go there. So I went there, and I said, I want this. And the lady said, you are just so direct. You didn't come. She says, a lot of the men, when they come into the shop, they're asking questions. You just went and said, I want this. And I picked it up. I paid for it. And I said, I'm giving it to my wife for Valentine's. So how? They said to me, two ladies, you know, in the shop, they said, how come you're so direct? And I said, because my wife, I've been listening to my wife. Anytime we drive past this shop, she looks in the window and she says, she just says it. I love this, whatever. It was in the window. She says, I love it. This is so great. Oh, I just love, that would be great at Valentine's. And we drive off. She's not asking me. She just says it. But the boy was listening. Guys, that's how it works. You just listen. And so when it came Valentine's, I went to buy it. And I gave it to her. She said, oh, you got me this. It's not the this. But she said, oh, you were listening. See, look at those points to renew your marriage. Valentine's, anniversaries, okay? And I'm not saying somebody wants me to say birthdays. No, no, no. Birthdays will come and go anyway. But what I'm trying to say, look for these special occasions. And it's not only one-way traffic. It's not only the men to the women. Both ways. Renew. Both ways. Treat each other well. Do you know what? Our daughters even have picked on it. It was just my birthday a few days ago. Guess what? I open the door, and my older daughter walks into the house with a bonsai plant because she knows daddy loves bonsais. Kill them all, but So my wife is up buying me bonsai. I killed them all, but at least somewhere my daughter too, what? Had it. And so that's what she gave me. And she brought this one to me. And when I saw it, it looked like an artificial one. I thought she was pulling a fast one on me. But she bought one that is very tough. And I read about it and said, this one is not going to die easy. That's what it actually said on the thing. It actually said it's very resilient. I said, oh, no. You know, I've got a lot of... what is happening in our lives is rolling off onto even our children. So renew your relationships. Very important. On our 10th anniversary, that was only at the first one. The only last story I'll tell you. On our 10th anniversary, it was a Wednesday. It was a Thursday. And I went to my assistant before that, and I said, I want to give my wife a treat. And she says, what do you want to do? I said, I want to take her to the Dorchester. She said, what? I said, yeah, at least you've got to stay in the Dorchester once before you die. It's in the middle of town. So I said, get her stuff packed. So they packed a few things I'd booked, and I talked to her. You can negotiate these things. Some of you don't try nothing. I got on the phone. And before I finished with the guy, he had given me a package. I'm sure when he put the phone down, he went, what did I just do? He gave me a package that I don't think he would give to anybody. I sweet talked him. You know, I told him how I wanted to treat my wife. He was so taken by it. He said, it would normally be X. Before he finished, he says the A. He was shocked. He gave me a beautiful honeymoon suite. And so after church service, I went to my wife. I said, I have a guest staying in town. So come with me. Let's go see him. You know, he's flying out of town. So we're driving, and then we get to the door. He says, the guest is staying at the door. I say, yeah, he's a big guy, you know, this big guy stays here. So we walk in, and all the guys knew about it in the Dorchester. So they went into the car, and they took her things and took it to the room. Okay, so we get there, and I went to the reception, and the guy said, he says you to come up. I said, honey, he says we could come up. He said, are you sure? He says, yeah. He says, we should come up. So we went to give me the key. Hiding the key, we went, and I opened the door. She didn't notice it. And when we opened the door, he just said, welcome, Mr. and Mrs. Banfield. And she said, my God. See, that has helped me for 20 years. I didn't find it. Added value. Amen. And so, you know, I want you to enjoy your relationships. Okay, I want you to enjoy your relationships. Enjoy, you know, there's several things that Pastor Gideon sent to me as surveys. We could sit here and go through a whole bunch of things. But God will grant you wisdom. And areas of pain, areas of challenge, you can sit down and say, listen, we heard this guy talk about these things today. Why don't we resolve some of these things? And if we're going to live until death do us part, you know, let's resolve these things. And let's live our lives happily ever after. Did you receive something today? Amen. Bless you.